funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the Foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
I'm Subhash Alias, the CEO of Missouri Partnership. We work to attract companies to the state of Missouri to create jobs for Missourians.
That's a coalition of people from around the state of Missouri, right?
It is. So we work on a contract with the Missouri Department of Economic Development. So they're our public sector partner. And then we have a private sector partner, that's the Hawthorne Foundation. And so those are made up of major corporations all over Missouri that invest for the advancement of economic development in our state.
So it's all greater good, huh?
It is, most certainly.
That's really cool. You're born and raised Missouri boy, right? So you're very familiar with everything here.
I am. I was not born in Missouri, but I spent most of my life in Missouri. As young as, maybe 2 years old.
Right. So you went to high school around St. Louis?
That's a very important St. Louis question, is where did you go to high school? I went to Chaminade College Prep in St. Louis County.
Catholic preparatory,
yeah? Yep, it is. Yeah. It is.
Pretty legendary.
Oh, you know it.
And that served you well in your postgraduate life, right?
Very well. I don't think I realized it at the time, but I realized it later. Just an excellent experience and education.
So what did you major in college?
I studied business, so business administration undergrad with a minor in econ.
What did you think you were going to do when you got out of school?
I had no idea about economic development. It was not something I had any idea even existed. So I figured when I graduated, I would find something that a business degree would be helpful, you know, if it was sales or marketing or something. I don't think I thought all the way through that, right? I was like, let me just get through these 4 years and then we'll decide what happens next.
So that was your first job at postgraduate, was in economic development?
It was. So I interned for a group that is, at the time it was called St. Louis RCGA. Today it's now the Greater St. Louis Inc. And so I interned there right out of college.
So that's a St. Louis Economic Development NGO?
It is. They represent the entire region, both Missouri and Illinois. So I spent 9 years there working and promoting the St. Louis region, and then went to grad school as well. I went to WashU for business school. After business school, I went to Pittsburgh to work for a group that's very similar.
Pittsburgh, PA.
Pittsburgh, PA, yes. A group called the Allegheny Conference on Community Development.
Uh-huh. It's pretty under the radar. You know, the average citizen doesn't even know you guys exist. And yet it's an essential behind-the-scenes ingredient in economic vitality.
Yeah, that's true. It's a little bit in our DNA. So we were set up in 2008 with the objective of go out, market Missouri, and bring new companies to the state. Don't worry about fundraising. Hawthorne Foundation's got that. And don't worry about your own funds with the state. The state has that covered. So just go do one thing and do it really, really well. And that's what we've been doing. So it's been in our DNA to just go out and be more outward facing. So we're not very well known inside Missouri, but I think more people do know about us.
That's really interesting. And so your outreach is international. It's not just across America by any means, right?
That's correct. We go all over the globe. We traveled with the governor this year here in 2022. Went to the UK and Ireland. And then earlier this year, we went to Germany and the Netherlands with the governor. And then this fall in November, we'll be going with the governor to Israel, Greece, and Dubai.
Talk to us about some of your recent history successes that have made a difference in the economic vitality of the state.
Yeah, one of the biggest ones I think that we're really excited about is a company called American Foods Group, or AFG. Just last Monday, we had the groundbreaking ceremony for that facility. 1,300 jobs, $800 million in capital investment.
Wow, and what do they do?
It's a beef processing plant, so they'll harvest beef there. The company's based in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Just an outstanding company. We had the opportunity to get to know them over the last year and a half. So part of it is logistics, and another part of it is also the supply of beef. So a lot of Missouri farmers were sending their cattle to other states to get processed, and we didn't have that of this magnitude in Missouri. And so
even though it's a Green Bay-based company, it's local, regional serving.
Right. They have plants in multiple places, so Missouri was an ideal spot for their next facility.
And again, what you alluded to earlier is distribution, getting to the East Coast or Midwest or West.
Right. Missouri is, as you know, very well located. We're the population center of the United States, something that a lot of people don't know, but we are. So if you had to get something to every single person in the U.S., you can't beat Missouri.
But even the east-west intermodal, the train, that's logistically appropriate.
Absolutely. All the Class 1 railroads come through Missouri, interstate. We've got river access as well.
So cool, because I don't have any big rivers where I live. And I forget what an economic driver that the Missouri and the Mississippi are in American transport.
Yeah, absolutely. It had a different history years ago, but we're still using the rivers, assisting with commerce. And, you hear about the supply chain challenges that we've had, nationally and globally. And the rivers play a role in helping us diversify our transportation modes.
Give us a recent history recruitment of bringing a foreign-based corporation to set up operations here.
Yeah, so just earlier last week, we had the groundbreaking ceremony for Austera. They're a fertilizer company, and they're Canadian, and they're putting a new facility just north of downtown St. Louis, fertilizer plant. So that's another remarkable win, also very recent.
It goes without saying that one of the spin-off primary benefits is employment.
Exactly. We're here to create jobs for Missourians. That's what we do, jobs and investment. And so I know we've got really tight unemployment, but we've got to keep our foot on the gas and continue to attract companies and create jobs, because it won't always be like this.
Exactly. Once you get comfortable, and things can change in days.
Right, exactly. We've got to get out there and be aggressive, and that's why it's all we do is business attraction.
That's really cool. So a little bit more, what you're most proud of in your world, in your daily life?
I'm really proud of the people I get to work with every single day. They are just the best in the country when it comes to economic development and team. This team comes together every day, and they go out and do what's right for Missourians, and they promote the state, and they have their passion in it, just like what you're seeing today.
And again, the funding comes from?
We get most of our funding from a state contract. That contract is funded by a fee on tax credits. So that goes into a pool. When companies receive tax credits, there's a fee, and so that's where the funding comes from, and then the private sector funds as well.
That's really cool. To learn more about your world, where would be the go-to site?
Our website would be the best, MissouriPartnership.com. I would also say to follow us on social media. We're on all the platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. We don't have any TikTok stars yet. Maybe someday.
Yeah.
but we're on all the main platforms. My name is Subhash Alias, the CEO of Missouri Partnership.
How cool. I'm so glad I ran into you today. Yeah.
Well, thanks for being here. I'm really excited for this.
My pleasure.
I'm Becky Willard. I'm the Executive Director of Hawthorne Foundation, and we are here today at Ozark Technical Community College in Springfield, Missouri.
Back up and start with, what is Hawthorne? How did it come about?
So Hawthorne Foundation was started about 40 years ago by Kit Bond when he was governor of our state, named after our state flower. And he started Hawthorne as a tool for economic development because he felt that as governor, he needed to be traveling internationally, traveling outbound to attract business to the state, and didn't think that that was something that taxpayers should be footing the bill on. So he worked with some people, and they created a private organization to fund those outbound trips.
Interesting. So it's corporate support that makes it viable and work.
Yes, it is. It's business support. We actually have education members. Now we've expanded. We have labor. We have local governments, things like that. But predominantly, yes, private support.
That's what I was thinking, is that you ultimately benefit the community, the county, the state.
Yes, absolutely.
So it would follow that to make it totally viable, you'd want engagement and partnership and some financial support from governmental entities.
Yes. So I think, you know, across the board, most states have some sort of public-private partnership mm-hmm. organization that supports economic development efforts. And it really works best when that is a partnership. It's both parties have responsibility to make the state better, to bring new business in, to bring new growth. And so having that support from the private side is very important to show that you have a welcoming state, that you have a welcoming community to new dollars, to new investments.
And also, a lot of times you wind up by default having an adversarial relationship when private enterprise tries to deal with a governmental entity, even a building department or planning department.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that can be the case. We're people, we're territorial about mm-hmm. what we do, but we have found here in Missouri that working together is a better way to get that done and really benefits the state to have the private dollars to support their efforts. It benefits the private side to have the backbone of the state structure with what you're doing.
Yeah, it really is a perfect world, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It is.
I know you're got to have a little maybe unconscious bias, but looking in from the outside, is this one of the more exemplary entities in America?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think I probably am a little bit biased, yes. But because of that 40-year history working together with a private entity with the state, I think have really developed a relationship that goes beyond any one person mm-hmm. at the state level. So, you know, we transcend any governor's office. We will support whoever is in that position, whoever's running the administration, and they will have relationships deeper than any one person here at Hawthorne or the Missouri Partnership. And I think that that's really important and really makes our organization strong for our mm-hmm. state.
Recent past and even current, what are some of the projects that you are most passionate about, proud, and would like to share?
So because Hawthorne does a couple different things, I'll share a couple. So mm-hmm. one of the things that we still do, going back to that first charge when we were founded, is fund the governor's trade missions. So when our governor decides to go outbound to try to bring businesses in from other countries or to build relationships with businesses who already have a presence here in Missouri, we financially support those. And so Governor Parson has taken a few trade missions recently that have been great successes in cultivating relationships.
Probably a shifting playing field mm-hmm. internationally. Talk to us about where you've shifted to and how it's evolved to the current situation.
So I think we took a trade mission in March to Ireland and the United Kingdom, and many times we're told while we were there that we were the first state delegation who had been over since the start of the pandemic. And so rebuilding some of those relationships has been very important. People are interacting in a different way, but still need to trade, mm-hmm. still need to grow. And so there was a lot of hunger for that relationship, and figuring out as the international scene shifts, how can Missouri be a part of that specifically? And it's going to be still a changing target, I think, mm-hmm. as we go forward.
Right. How do you determine need and how to target that need to bring in businesses?
So a lot of that is driven by what's out there, I think. You know, Missouri Partnership does a great job working globally to figure out who is looking to relocate, who is looking to expand. Mm-hmm. And we, of course, have some assets in Missouri that make us stand out for certain industries. We have a strong agricultural presence here with our animal science corridor, our plant science corridor. The governor talks a lot about our rivers and how that benefits transportation and logistics. And so I think some of that between what's needed and then what natural assets we have in the state flows that way. But Missouri Partnership does a fantastic job of matching those needs with what we have here in the state.
So again, on the one hand, it's showcasing and sharing who you are, what you offer on the international stage. Mm-hmm. But then on the other, it's the reverse where they're coming to you.
Yes.
Talk to us about those two ends.
So another thing we do with these trade missions is help Missouri companies who are looking to expand to an international market. And mm-hmm. so we love to help our local companies find a new audience as we go overseas. So they get a chance to be a part of that process occasionally. And that's been exciting as well to see some local companies that have really gotten to grow and be part of that international focus that we have with our trade missions.
Bragging time. Give me an on-the-ground example of a success that you're really proud of.
Let's see. For a new business, I love talking about, there are so many exciting ones that they've done. In our house, we actually talk about the Chewy.com relocation in Belton, the new plant they have there, because we order our dog and our cat food from there. So every time it comes, only 24 hours after we order it, we're always very excited because it came from just across the state. It's exciting to see things like that that are useful to people, mm-hmm. that make life better for our Missourians.
Your life.
Yes.
That's cool.
It's good to tie things back and remind people it's not just new business. It's not just a job three counties away that's mm-hmm. not going to be your job, but this helps all of us. And that's what makes me excited mm-hmm. about this work, is how we're making our state better.
Your biggest frustration, that hill you can't quite climb to the top of, but you're determined to do so. What is your biggest challenge?
I think our biggest challenge for Hawthorne Foundation mm-hmm. is letting people know that we are here, mm-hmm. that we are doing this work, and that we would like to have their support. We've been around for almost 40 years. We're a Missouri organization. Mm-hmm. We have a great reach, but
maybe just you're too busy doing.
We have a lot of other things going on. Yeah. But I think, you know, I tell people frequently, we are just really only, you know, tip of the iceberg on mm-hmm. what we could be doing right. as far as getting companies involved with our organization to support the economic development efforts. So getting the word out is challenging.
Off top of your head, the best case place to showcase. Could it be as simple as a farmer's market downtown?
You know, it probably could be. I think we've had some luck with getting a community to host us and say, you know, someplace like this. You mm-hmm. know, OTC is a wonderful presence in Springfield.
And explain OTC.
Oh, Ozark Technical Community College.
That's where we're at right now.
Which is where we are now. And they do a great job training workers and getting people ready to be the best person they can be as part of our Missouri workforce mm-hmm. And innovative in that, which is fantastic for us.
And implicit in the model is, again, that close working partnership with corporate
yes.
businesses mm-hmm. that have little incubators and labs and whatnot set up.
Absolutely.
Here, right?
Absolutely, yes. Know. And we've generally, really all of our universities, I think, but I know our community college system has a great relationship with the corporate community to do just that. Everybody right now has workforce challenges. Missouri is not exempt from that, but having that strong educational system that's mm-hmm. training workers is so important, and the business community is a big part of that. And one of the things that Hawthorne does is work to bring those groups together. So we are here at OTC because OTC is an investor in Hawthorne Foundation. They believe in what we're doing and promoting economic development. We'll have corporate entities here who are also invested in Hawthorne, and they can all get in a room together and talk about, how are we making Missouri better? How mm-hmm. are we preparing the workforce? How are we bringing new jobs in for them? And that makes us a little bit unique that yeah. we provide that for them.
And do you have little brainstorming meetings where you think of, how can we better engage and cross-pollinate the manufacturing and corporate mm-hmm. with the schools, whether it's a technical college or even, you know, high school?
Yes, we do.
Talk to us about that.
We do. We have brought people in from a high school program to mm-hmm. talk about starting at a younger age, getting people ready for the workforce. We have had sessions where we offer people the opportunity to talk about, what does the business community need? What do the community colleges or the other schools need to support that? Recently, not from this part of the state, but we recently had Truman State University join us, which is from Northeast Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
But
there, yeah.
Yes, very strong liberal mm-hmm. arts college in Missouri.
So how did you
and
partner?
So we had been talking with people in that area as well, since we're a statewide organization. And Dr. Sue Thomas, the president of the university, reached out and said one of her colleagues, a different university president, had told her about Hawthorne, and she said, do you think there is a place for a liberal arts university in Hawthorne in the discussion of workforce? And mm-hmm. I said, yes, of course. Yes, there is. It's not, workforce does not necessarily mean a welder. It doesn't necessarily right. mean a trade. Sometimes it does mean a four-year degree from Truman State mm-hmm. University. So, you yeah. know, we want everybody to be part of that conversation.
Yeah, even PR and marketing. It's all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll take all kinds. We'll take all kinds.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, share a little bit more. We talked about some frustrations. Talk to us about your most rewarding elements of what you do and why you do what you do.
So one of the things I really enjoy about Hawthorne is not just our interactions with our members, our investors, our private businesses. We work very closely with the state as well. And so the director of the Department of Economic Development, the governor's office and his administration, we all get to work together on these. And I find it very rewarding when you get those various groups who, as we discussed, can be territorial sometimes. And I think it's really special to find topics that people feel like we can all agree on this. We all want the same target. We all want the same goal, and reaching that goal will benefit us all. And that's been a really great thing for Hawthorne. It's very important for us since we are fairly connected to the state and the administration.
And yet you're at the same time politically totally neutral.
Correct.
Because when the governor goes out new one comes in, you're not at risk and fearful of being thrown out with the bathwater.
Yes, we have lasted 40 years, so we will continue on. So it is an interesting line to be connected to an administration in that way, but not political, is something a lot of our investors really like because a lot of them don't want to be political and that's not something they want to wade into. And we don't want to be political either. And I don't think that economic development needs to be political.
No, I think that neutrality, huge benefit.
And, you know, we've found a lot of success in the past year and a half that I've been at Hawthorne and the organization before that in promoting that neutrality, promoting what we're doing as a nonpartisan way to support the state, and have had a lot of growth. I mean, we saw a lot of growth last year and still a hard time, I think, for businesses where we were still seeing a lot of our investors that were struggling, that weren't exactly sure how they were going to come out on the other side. And the fact that they were dealing with that and still chose to put their investment dollars in our organization is not something I take lightly.
It's a definite vote of confidence.
It is. Yeah. And we need to be good stewards of those dollars because I know that they are not as easy to come by sometimes for these companies as we might think they are. Everybody has this idea that, you know, corporate America is the coffers are overflowing, but that's not always the case. So the fact that they trust us with that and are willing to be champions for us and be advocates for us, bring their peers in, is really important. And that is how we grow. That is how we will get to the top of that hill where we don't say, oh, tip of the iceberg, you know?
Right.
My dream is that someday I look down and say, I have no one else to ask. We're done.
I love it.
It's never going to happen because you have people like the Missouri Partnership folks bringing in new businesses. So we won't ever get there. I
mean, there you go.
That's the great thing, right?
Yeah. All things considered, parting thoughts, you know, what's closest to your heart?
I think Missouri is a wonderful place to live. This is where my husband and I have chosen to raise our children, to have our families. I want it to continue to be a great place. And I think that new business, new growth, that's how we do that. I think that's how I get to keep my kids in Missouri when they are older. We have to have things for them to do. We have to have quality education institutions. We have to have a plethora of job opportunities. And I think that's what makes our state wonderful. And I want other people to come to Missouri and feel like this is where they would choose to make their home, and that they can do that because we have opportunities for them.
To learn more about your world, where would we go?
If anyone's interested in learning more about Hawthorne, we are at hawthornefoundation.org, Hawthorne without an E, foundation.org. We are also on Twitter at Hawthorne Foundation, and would love to connect with people.
Very cool.
And I am Becky Willard, Executive Director of the Hawthorne Foundation.
Becky, thank you. What a great morning.
I'm Mark Sutherland. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer of Missouri Partnership, and I get to brag about Missouri all over the world, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Have you covered breadth and width and depth of Missouri? Do you pretty much know the whole state?
I keep finding new, amazing things about Missouri. There's a surprise around every corner.
Think of a recent cool surprise that you just didn't know about.
So, you know, we've been spending the weekend here in Augusta, Missouri, and the first night, the Hoffman family and the Augusta Chamber invited us out to a private vineyard where you don't usually get to go. And part of that vineyard was a hidden wine cellar where you walk down this hill and all of a sudden there's this amazing brick structure in the side of the hill where, you know, they age wine and they host events. Those are the kind of things you'll find. Just incredibly unique, incredibly beautiful, set on the side of a hill overlooking the Missouri River Valley. Those are the kinds of the surprises that you can find in the region.
One thing I can immediately visualize coming to the county where we are now is a couple. How about families bringing kids here? What is there for kids to do? Entire families.
Yeah, so I mean, this is definitely family friendly. This is Missouri wine country, so the wineries, you can come and enjoy and relax, live music, very family friendly environments. And then within the region, there's lots of things that families can do, horseback riding, trails, rivers, lakes, everything outdoors. Mm-hmm. So you take the kids out biking on the Katy Trail, for example, during the day. End of the day, put them down and head to the local winery and enjoy a nice glass of wine as the sun sets over the hills.
Do they have bike rentals?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's bike rentals along the Katy Trails here in the Augusta region. There's one next door in Defiance, where I live, and there's another one here in Augusta. Mm-hmm. And I believe there's plans for more of those along the Katy Trail, along with hostel and various other places to stay. So, in fact, with the Katy Trail, if you want to bike across all of Missouri, that's what it is. It's an old railway that has been turned into a fantastic trail across the state.
That's really cool. So tell us a little bit more about Augusta. What a cute little storybook Hollywood movie set town it is.
It's a beautiful town, great people, very, very friendly. Thanks to the current investment the Hoffman Family Companies is making, about $150 million, they have transformed that town and taken it to the next level. Boutique clothing store, the Emporium, its first gas station, and then just enhancing the wineries that have always been great. Really, both the experience for visitors, but also the quality of the wine. Missouri's always done really good dry reds, and that's continued, and that's improving. Incredible ports. I think this entire weekend I've been raving about the Tawny Port that's available here. My favorite port in the world. But just that whole experience that has always been here has been taken to another level and enhanced in ways that even I, as a local resident, could not have imagined happening.
We're kind of at ground zero, day one, in the scheme of the renaissance and rebirth of Augusta.
I think, yeah, we've just seen the beginning. I know the vision is to return this section of Missouri to what it was historically. Mm-hmm. It was the first AVA, American viticultural area in the U.S. It's got a long history of wine production, really good wine production, and it's got the potential to be the Napa Valley of the Midwest. I think it has the potential to be better mm-hmm. than Napa, with things closer and more family friendly, with, I think, wine that gives them a run for their money, and I think in some cases does a wee bit better.
And without an $85 tasting fee.
Definitely still more affordable. This is Missouri, lower cost of living, lower cost of enjoying a great life. And yeah, you combine those two together and you've got a great weekend, a great week, great experience.
Somebody coming from, say, California or Oregon with a taste for wine that wants to go on holiday, is there infrastructure to set up for an itinerary and everything, or do they have to kind of piece it together on their own right now?
So Visit Augusta is a great resource. If you want to visit the Augusta region, there's already infrastructure in place. There's some lodging. There's elements that are already there. There's a trolley system that runs throughout the region to take you from winery to winery. But that's just the beginning. Mm-hmm. I know there's plans to build a five-star hotel. There's plans to build more of a luxury hotel, actually refurbish a luxury hotel, and really just enhance the experience and the opportunities.
And then to defray any thoughts of people thinking that this is an elitist model, I was most impressed with a new hostel that's coming online.
Right on the Katy Trail.
Yeah.
There's a hostel with the Hoffmans building a hostel. So you can be biking and you've got a nice stopover. There's
50,
also
$50 for an overnight.
Absolutely. There's an RV park nearby that's right on the Katy Trail as well, if you're into RVing. And like I said, I think we're going to see more of that. It's an exciting time to live here. Mm-hmm. I'm a neighbor. I love what is going on. I live the next town over. Mm-hmm. I'm here contributing to the local economy quite often in the wineries.
Love it. You know, I'm so excited for the future and excited to come back, say, a year or two. It's palpable, the energy of rejuvenation that's happening right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, come back in a couple of years, you'll have the Miss Augusta cruising the Missouri River. You'll be able to take a helicopter flight along the river and up the bluffs. You'll be able to play golf in an amazing new golf course that's being built. There'll be plenty of hotel space for you to come and enjoy. But it still won't be crowded. Mm-hmm. It'll still retain, and the Hoffmans have been committed to retaining that small town America feel that we all love so much.
Will you have that inherent luxury of physical space out here.
Exactly. It's not crowded. Everybody's friendly. Everybody's just out to have a fun time and enjoy some incredible wine, some incredible views. A lot of these wineries are up on tops of ridges that are just overlooking an amazing Missouri River Valley. So it's a place to come relax, unwind, and enjoy some incredibly good wine.
Cool. Mark Sutherland, thank you for sharing.
No, thank you.
You're very welcome. To learn more about your world.
So my world, when it comes to Missouri, so it's MissouriPartnership.com, and then definitely encourage you to Google Augusta, Missouri, and find out all the things that are available in the area.
Thanks again, Mark.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So yes, please support your local NPR station.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
Why don't you go where Harlem sits for another riz? Spangled gowns upon the bevy of highbrow from down the levee, all misfits putting on the riz. Why, that's where each and every Lulu Bell goes every Thursday evening with her swell bow rubbing elbows. Come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last 2 bits putting on the riz.